It's Tuesday. You know what that means. Normal world. And today, we have a couple of good guests. Well, I mean, one is a guest right now, because he's not in the studio. Dave Landau.
Ow!
Well, hello.
Guest of the show.
Thank you.
So good to see you both.
It's good to be here. This weekend, you can see me at places.
Yeah, what are those places?
Dave Landau, those places are, if you go to DaveLandau.com, Eagle Ridge Resort, in Galena, Illinois, I think.
That's March 22nd?
Yeah, and then March 23rd, I'll be in Beloit, Wisconsin at ABC Baseball Stadium. So come out to that. And then 28th, 29th, and 30th, Morris Plains, New Jersey at TIFF's Comedy Dojo.
Ton of dates.
Dojo.
Hey, thanks for being a guest on your show.
I appreciate it. We had a bit of emergency, but we're good.
Hey, it's all good, dude. Hey, also, there's Angela over there.
Hi.
What's up?
What's up?
How you doing?
Hello.
Just us today. Well.
Yeah. Well, kind of.
Let's do the other people here. Did you hear something?
No. And a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, the artiste.
Friend of ours.
Friend of ours, indeed, since we've brought him onto the show. I do a show with him on Mondays called Based AF Mondays on the Adam Krigler channel. Adam Krigler.
Ow!
What's up, guys? Good to see you again. Adam. It's good to be here. I think it's Galena, actually. I'm from Illinois.
You're probably right.
Is that right?
A lot of places that are pronounced weird in Illinois.
Galena? No,
Illinois.
I pronounced them weird. Illinois did nothing.
Just lean into it.
You just came out swinging at Illinois.
Illinois is for you.
Yes,
that's
it's Illinois.
That's how you say it.
I'm from Michigan, so we just add S's to stuff for no reason. It's like Walmart.
Illinois.
Yeah, you're from the Illinois, aren't you, Adam?
I am from Illinois.
Right.
Yes.
What weird parts?
Indeed. Chicago. Now, when I say Chicago, I was born in Chicago on Lakeshore Drive. There's a lot of people that claim they're from Chicago, but they're from like an hour and a half out. Or Wisconsin. They're like, yeah, I'm from Chicago.
Fucking elitist.
Liars.
Hey,
you're from Boys Town.
That's my name.
Adam, I wanted to talk about
yes.
this because we're both gamers, okay? Dave, we need to bring you on to the gaming scene so we could play some games someday. We need to make that happen.
I got some games.
That would be fun.
So I wanted to talk about Gamergate.
Dave, name one game.
A Cobra Kai.
For
Nintendo Switch. I got it sit right over there.
Okay. All right.
Look, for real. Look.
Okay,
look at all the. Look over there in my basement.
Okay.
Let's get a turn.
And then see that TV?
I
over
see
there
a sock
in the
standing
with
at
the
attention
Nintendo
over
Switch.
There.
Well, that's from stuff.
I like the game room.
Way in the back in the corner. Yeah, this is just part of my basement. And that's a bar I built days before I relapsed. Or not before, but before I got my last DUI, so it sat there dusty since 09. Not
what do you put
touched
in there? Just empty bottles?
No, people, there's some wine and stuff for guests, but I don't think that it used to be something.
Self-control.
Well, it was a dream. It's a dead dream, Garrett.
Thanks for rubbing it in, Garrett.
Well, I want to talk about Gamergate 2. Adam, I know you have some opinions on that. Gamergate 2, if you don't know, Gamergate 1 was like 2014? 2015?
Before we get into Gamergate, can you guys just kind of explain like what it is for the layman like myself who just doesn't
okay, layman. So Gamergate OG was a consumer movement of gamers calling out the journalist for taking sexual favors. So basically there'd be people in the industry that would have sex with the journalist, and then the journalist would give games good ratings or cover up issues with games and whatnot. So the consumers were having issue with that and saying, hey, stop that. But then they turned it into a lot of these kind of internal pundits turned it into a sexism and racism and misogyny story. So they morphed the entire argument into sexist racism and kind of started all of this political internet strife. Ever since, it's been politics nonstop on the internet, and that's kind of where Gamergate kind of came
from.
The original, the OG. Okay.
Mortal Kombat.
So what's going on with Gamergate 2?
Gamergate 2, Adam, do you've got opinions? I want you to set it up.
I just love real quick that it took Dave that long to come up with a second game.
That's what that was. And that game was from 1992.
He's been over there brewing, like, I know I can come up with another Mortal Kombat.
Dig Dug.
I was like, wait, what are we talking about?
Jam.
Oh, that's a shit.
I got to relive my childhood. And I blocked most of it out, Adam.
Well, sorry about that then. Gamergate 2. Yeah. Well, now, now it's the whole DEI, diversity, inclusion, equity, Sweet Baby Inc.
Yep.
And that's just the very tip of the iceberg, because pretty much every company, especially in the gaming space, well, all spaces really, but we're talking about Gamergate. It's all these gaming companies that operate in debt. And to continue to operate in debt, they need to basically adhere to these different check boxes. You know, do we have the appropriate amount of diversity? Do we have, you know, all of the LGBT characters that are in our in the story, a center frame, and they can't have a male character or a white male character. They need a person of color front and center. And then I don't even really understand how many hoops they have to go through to actually release a game nowadays.
Is that why
it's wild?
In the new Mario Wonderland, when he hits one of the bricks, he turns into a woman or starts blowing Luigi?
You know,
I
didn't play that version.
I haven't played that one.
It's weird, but it's like, I mean, it's you win the game. It's like it's second level. You just win. Just
like, I think that's if you turn on journalist mode.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it is journalist mode.
It makes
mode.
The game
You're
super
right.
easy.
Yeah.
You could beat it. Don't you have to do anything?
Yeah, like anything happens. Yeah, and it says this is okay to do for real.
So the way this. Gamergate 2.0.
Sorry, mine
Boogaloo.
Wasn't real, everybody.
You know, it could be. It could be real. Not in Japan, though. Japan is like hardcore, like no way. Nintendo
no,
will not let
China's hardcore, no way. Japan.
Well,
Japan
they have
dirty stuff.
That's repressed. That's not open. That's repressed. They put that in the back alley.
Well, they openly shame that kind of stuff in Japan. Everyone does it, but they shame it publicly still, you
True.
Know? So there's still that balance. They got it down, I think.
Yeah. So
that's why they got octopuses.
Yeah, dude, what is up with the tentacles?
They're
got
sexy.
A tentacle thing everywhere.
I get it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you explain
true.
It then?
She does.
If you get it, like what? Go
they're,
on explain
they're phallic
that.
Phallic and slimy.
Ah.
All right. That was actually a really simple.
Yeah.
Explanation. Simple, easy. All right. Makes sense. Sure.
A squid falls out of her dresses all the time.
Oh God.
We get inked.
I've slipped on at least five.
Okay.
Bro. Who keeps doing this?
Let me set
her outfit was white at the start of the show. By
now
the way,
it's inked.
Inky.
She don't got inked.
Why are they alive? All right, sorry.
It's because they move.
Garrett gets it.
Okay, so the Electric Boogaloo started because a gamer on Steam used the curation system on there. You can make curated games like, I want to make a list of the greatest first-person shooters, and you can make a list.
It's just like a playlist?
Yeah, just a playlist, basically, on Steam for other players. Well, they made this one specifically to
like
highlight.
Like GoldenEye?
Exactly.
Very good, Dave.
Good? Yeah?
By the end of the episode, we're going to know all the games that Dave knows.
Yes.
He's just going to sporadically
have a list.
Name them all.
Like Doom? Yeah.
Like
so yeah, they made a list that had every game that this company, Sweet Baby Inc., was involved with. The Sweet Baby Inc. is a consulting firm. If you remember who Anita Sarkeesian is from Gamergate 1, she started a channel called Feminist Frequency, and she was talking about how all these games are made for the male gaze, and they're sexist, and none of the women characters have anything to do, and she was definitely a gamer that definitely played video games. She didn't. She was consulting, and then she would use this as a way to strong-arm companies into hiring her to consult. Well, that evolved into complete companies doing that, like Sweet Baby Inc. And Sweet Baby Inc. was involved with a recent flop, The Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League, which was a horrible game, just mechanically and storyline-wise, and this user made a list. So somebody from Sweet Baby Inc. got wind of it, then tried to get that user banned because they said it was
harassment.
It was harassment. Just making a list, literally a list of, hey, these games have Sweet Baby Inc. involved in them. Didn't even say that it was like bad or it was just like these games have that company involved, and they thought it was harassment.
And just for an example, that game Justice League or Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League, they claimed that Sweet Baby Inc. was just involved as like a consulting side of it. Right. But then when you look into it and you look at the amount of writers that they actually had involved,
26.
It's like 12. It was 26? I thought it was total. Like 12.
It's total, 26 okay. Total.
Total people yeah. Working with that game. That's ridiculous. That's more than just
is
consulting.
Is it 26?
Like, you're good.
Okay.
Like, so it's story 26 writers.
Consultants?
No, story no, writers. Full on writers. Together. So if you cross okay. reference
full writers.
If you cross reference the writing list, wow. You can find the head like lead writers are Sweet Baby Inc. employees. You can go to LinkedIn right. And you can find it. So all these people are very involved in the story and manipulating that, because that's something that came out. Kotaku came out with an article saying Sweet Baby Inc. doesn't do what gamers think it does, and then just listed out like what we all thought it did. Like, we think it goes into companies, strong arms them, and then writes their own narratives. They say they come in here after the game's already been written and they make notes on characters like, it would be more to their truth if you did it this way or that way.
And then Snopes come out and says, well, Sweet Baby Inc. isn't strong arming them, right? Yeah. And then it turns out it's actually like the people who are bankrolling them are strong arming them right. To listen to Sweet Baby Inc. Sweet Baby Inc. is just like they're doing their job, which, of course, is ruining all the games.
Right.
And the sure. Game companies are like, well, we want to be bankrolled, so we're going to allow them to come in and change all the games.
So
go ahead. Isn't the gaming industry, I mean, allegedly more profitable than film and television combined? So
yeah,
why
wild.
Are they? Yeah. So why is it that they're bringing in the woke element now, or I guess you would call it that, to go into these different games? It doesn't seem to make any sense. Is it just because it's in everything now?
Yeah.
Well, they're trying to affect another generation, because like movies is a set generation, and mm-hmm. Games, who plays games? It's mostly kids. Look at the games that make sure. The most money. Fortnite made billions of dollars, insane. Minecraft is one of the best-selling games of all time.
Yeah.
What right. Does he play? Fortnite, Minecraft,
my
one
son
of the two.
Plays both.
Exactly. Boom. Nailed
yeah,
it.
He loves so Minecraft more, but just got into Fortnite, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if these companies, or if these games get taken over by these companies, they're then going to be manipulating the minds of these kids that are playing it. That's really the end game goal. They want to shift the future in their direction of like their ideology. That's really what this is about.
And it's skewed.
Gamergate too.
It's not about having diverse characters, because that's great, or women characters, because people love a lot of female characters.
We've
it's
had
the same
that
argument we have to have
gaming.
For movies. It's not about
we've had,
that. It's
we've
about
had diver-
the,
like real diversity.
Yeah.
Like when you know you don't when you're not thinking, oh well, that person just looks like they were just placed in that position just to have a person of color. Whereas before, like think about like the 90s of movies, games, pretty much everything that we consumed was just like everything felt natural. There were movies that had people of color as the main character or games, and no one cared. Gender, like guy, girl, it didn't matter as long as the game was good. And the games are good because these companies needed to create a good product to exist back in the day. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, with the internet and algorithms, things can be manipulated and they're taking advantage of that. Well, it feels actually that we're reaching that point where they now no longer can do that. It's and case in point, this guy who created that Steam profile, like, hey, you know what? We're not going to buy your games anymore, Sweet Baby Inc.
Yeah.
And now everyone knows it's not the only company. So now they're going to be looking into what other companies are doing, what Sweet Baby Inc. does. And they're sticking with the games that don't cater to that stuff. And that's why we're seeing a rise of indie games. People are going to these smaller companies that are actually not bankrolled by these massive banks or corporations, and they're just making a game that they love, and that's what's thriving.
Yeah,
good.
Well, they
I love
should
it.
Because I mean that's who's the people that are bankrolling the larger companies, I mean, that has to come from government, that has to come from some element of, I'd say, communism, because you, yeah, because you have to look at, in the 1980s, Eddie Murphy was arguably the biggest star. A lot of the stuff has just been pushed out in the sense to create division, and it has for a very long time.
And grift off of it.
So the more, yes, and then you have these companies coming out of China and all these other places to push that agenda. And I mean, it's going on, and communism has been going on for a very long time. And you see it seeped into the movie industry and all these other industries very slowly. But it is a disgusting, like, it's a disgusting regime, and it's a religion in a lot of ways. Yeah. And
it's a like cult.
Even
it's
well, you read stuff about it. I mean, it's not like, I mean, this is a people that, you know, when you stole a grain of rice, if a kid did, they would make you bury your son alive. I mean, they don't care. They want to make people hate each other, and they want it to be, they want to make it so people are not human. They don't care, like, desperate. And for them to keep leaking into everything like this, all it is creating more and more division when I see that stuff, because it's pointless. And again, in games, you have, these are characters. They can be anything. You can have a flying elephant. What does it matter what you have to leak in? You, why do you have to create division unless there's something bigger behind it?
Yeah. And it, like, a silver lining is I don't think it's going to work this time. Like that last time it,
no, especially it if there's kind of work money.
It did kind of work. They still got to be consultants in the industry. They're still having, even now, they're having a GDC. It's a giant video game conference, video game development conference. And they're still having panels like this. Like, we're not gamers, we're developers. We want to get rid of white cis lead characters. These are all panels that are at GDC right now. So they arguably did win the first Gamergate. But this one, the journalists have so little power, and people take them, they used to take them seriously, now they don't at all. So that power is gone, and it's really up to the consumer and the person playing the game to decide, do I care about this? I don't care about the forced diversity. I'd rather just play a fun game. And you get that way more in the smaller indie field.
But who,
the kids
aren't
going to Kotaku. They're not going to G4. They're not going to these journalists. They're following their favorite creators.
Yeah.
They're watching people play on YouTube, on Twitch, Rumble, wherever you watch gamers, and they're going and going, well, what do you like to play? I like your style of gaming. I like the way that you play games and the way you think. That's the, when you watch games or watch gamers, that's tends to be who you go and follow. It's the people that you like to watch. So if they play a different game and they like it, you'll probably like it too. Mm-hmm. And you could trust them. You know that you could trust them. So they're like bypassing the journalists. They don't need journalists anymore. Like, I was a kid. You probably had Game Informer, right, Garrett?
Did you read
Game Informer?
Yeah,
back
dude.
In the day, yeah. Game Informer was great. I loved that.
That's how you found new games.
That was pre-internet, right?
That was on
the internet
paper.
Wasn't a thing. Paper.
I had Nintendo Power. Nintendo Power.
There it is. But that's a thing in the past. Like, you don't have magazines anymore. You don't read articles really anymore other than the headline, and nobody takes them seriously. So, like you just said, like, you're just going to go to the person that you respect. You go, okay, you play the certain games. I respect your opinion. You're not going to listen to these journalists that are just trying to get your money, just trying to get your clicks. And that's the same thing that the Sweet Baby Inc. is doing. I'm sure that they believe what they believe. I don't think that they're lying about it, but they're 100% using it to get money when they don't have talent.
Oh, of course.
Because usually people that used to work in the industry that have either failed in the industry, they're going to these consulting firms and going, well, you know, I just didn't feel right in the game development field. We just had an example. Black Panther is a game that's being made, the Marvel character Black Panther, and it's being developed by a development team called Validate, an entirely people of color dev team.
It's called Validate?
Validate. There's a video of her. No, they're all black. So she said, my entire team is black because
they're in wheelchairs.
Because I want to create a safe space for black people. It's not that I say white people are creating unsafe spaces. That's not what I'm saying. But that is what you're saying by saying, I want to create a safe space by taking white people out. Which is, so white people are dangerous. So it's this.
I'm pretty sure that's correct. Illegal.
Yeah, you know, you think?
I don't think discriminatory. That's illegal.
I don't know.
But not anymore.
I guess.
But you know what? I wouldn't want right to work with any do. Of those people anyway.
Yeah, it's like, all right, no. Fine. Yeah, create your own space over there. Do whatever. Make your shitty games and nobody will play them. That's right. Fine. She made some.
But don't get mad at us.
She made a dating
shit,
game, a dating video game oh, cool. about dating brown disabled people. Like each character was a disabled in
that.
Some way.
I would play
like,
that.
That sounds hilarious.
That's I'd love to play it? That.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. Are there it was called Validate.
Squid
that's where it came from.
In the game.
Yes. Yeah. Is there? Garrett?
It's called
I don't know. I haven't played it. Possibly. Could be a DLC.
There's enough games like that online. Fine.
Hey, that's enough about the game industry. You know, what I thought was really important, what happened over the week, beating it off.
Well, they remake
in theaters. Beating off in theaters. Have you heard about this, Dave?
I heard a little bit about it. It happened in Michigan.
Yes.
Do we have a picture?
Yeah.
Okay, that was
last decade. Was it 2 decades ago? When did that happen anyway?
Last Thursday.
So somebody watching the movie, what is the name of the movie?
Love Lies Bleeding.
Lies Bleeding. It's a movie with Christian Stewart.
He was doing it that hard.
You look at those little bottles of Fireball right there.
You remember that Christian Stewart story we talked to told you guys about a couple weeks ago? It's extremely gay. It's the gayest thing she could do.
Right.
Which is what this movie is. And
I saw that movie this weekend.
You did?
I did.
Review right now. Review.
Oh, it was great.
Was it worth masturbating to?
Was it good?
I honestly know what part he masturbated you think? To. I know which part it was. And it was
one
hot.
Out of four pumps. What would
did
you
it turn you
fun?
On also? let's just say I had my squid ready to
yeah,
go.
I had my squid.
All right.
Did you also bring Marlboros and 5 airplane yeah. bottles?
I would have if it was like 6 years ago, but
yeah, you turned a corner.
I don't anymore. Okay.
I like that.
That would have been me. Yeah, actually, I'm sure that was me. In a couple
what was your
theaters.
Favorite scene in the movie?
I don't want to give away any spoilers. There's a part at the end where the bodybuilding chick gets huge. And I don't mean
like she's pumped.
No. I mean like she becomes a giant woman, like a skyscraper. And it's very like, I'm like, oh, this is a kink thing. Yes.
Step on me.
Yeah.
Step
like
on me.
But it's good.
Giant lady.
Is this where she has like the mullet and
yes
yeah
okay.
yeah that's the photo shoot she took
what's funny
it
is
makes
that guy's
now.
Jacket fell off of him like he has a covering and it's just not
well,
over him
the theater lights are up so he fell asleep and this is after the movie's gone like all of the people yeah. have left he's just has a full-on bar sitting next to him
you I mean, can see the little blurred yeah. out part
Where is that a
yeah?
Is that a
dick in his hand.
Dollar bill?
Is it?
It looks
oh,
like
he's
a
leaving a tip.
Tray.
That's pretty good. That's good to leave
it
a tip.
It could be a Coke tray. It looks
he's
like
got a couple
it,
tips
it looks
right
like
there.
It's either a rolled up dollar bill or a lime.
He's got marbles.
Is a vape?
Like, how much stuff?
Is it a wet wipe?
I don't
wipe?
Even feel comfortable when I sneak candy into a movie.
He does have marbles right there.
Marlboros, a vape,
and a vape,
a vape,
two fireball whiskeys. A
Apparently
couple of cocktails.
Hot cocoa,
a spit cup.
Hot cocoa on the left.
The untouched.
Man, this guy had a whole scenario
the
going.
Untouched. He had marshmallows floating in it.
What the hell?
We think they were marshmallows.
Dude, you know, they keep...
We don't know.
We don't know. And he's just doing cocaine. I assume he was alone in the theater.
I would assume
If he
so.
Wasn't, it's way funnier.
It's way...
just like...
Somebody's just sitting
there
like...
What's going on, man?
It's like, all right, is he drinking and doing coke? We'll let that go. Then he's masturbating, and they're like, come on.
You know what? Let's
go. You're going to have to try to have fun at the movies somehow, because all the movies this year coming out are just reboots and sequels.
Dude, it's like a never-ending cycle. I just heard that they're remaking Baywatch with 40-year-old dudes.
Yeah, that's a weird choice.
What?
Yeah, they want to play to the generation that used to watch the show. Yeah.
I actually...
It's freaking
no
weird.
Sense. Let me pull up... I think I
Again,
can
they already remade
trailer
it.
Trailer for
They already
it.
Remade it. Can you play it?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and play it.
That girl's drowning. Somebody should save her.
I'm not a good swimmer, please.
Yeah, I don't really want to take off my shirt. I was told the show was different.
I just ate a hoagie, and I could cramp up, and that could just hurt us both.
My heart medicine actually says I should not be submerged in water. Swim!
Why would you come to the beach if you can't swim? It's like an implied skill.
You know, she probably tried that. But to be honest, I can't swim either, so
I know. Get it. I feel yeah, I get it. We have a floaty. She didn't even have a floaty.
She was like 30 yards out there.
Yeah, it doesn't work. No more bubbles.
Yeah, she's not coming back.
Good thing nobody saw that.
No.
Yeah. Nobody comes to this beach no more and account all the bodies washing up.
I take it back. I want to see that movie.
Good. It looks really good, yeah. I mean, he had a good body.
You don't want to see that movie?
What? I'll tell you what. When I go see that movie, though, I'm bringing two things of Fireball. All right. Pack of Fireballs.
Yep. My bait.
I don't drink anymore, but
he's going
to bring some cocoa. Yeah, for
some
sure.
Rum-flavored ice cream.
You know what I would bring to that movie?
Some lube.
Quick-release pants.
A nice bowl of Magic Spoon.
Ooh.
Hey, have you been watching your macros lately? If you have, you know it's kind of difficult when you're eating just bowls of sugar. Not like that with Magic Spoon. Mm-hmm. They make high protein.
How much sugar is in it, Garrett?
Zero.
Zero?
Yep.
There's absolutely zero in there. Mm-hmm. High protein. Whoa. Mm-mm. If you want to get that protein.
What is this? Tell me more.
I fell out of my chair and I'm hurt. That was shocking.
It's a cereal
now.
That has zero. No sugar in it.
And they have treats now.
What?
Like what?
Little treats.
Like little, like a snack
like
bar
back
kind
in
of
the
treat?
Day?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Like you open it and get like the prize inside?
Yeah, they have.
I fell again.
No.
The flavors are marshmallow, chocolatey peanut butter.
That would be cool.
Blueberry muffin. And double chocolate. So they're better than the ones that you used to have.
So magicspoon.com/normal. You can go try there. They have like a variety pack. You can get a variety of their flavors. They're always coming out with new ones. I like the cinnamon. There's also like a frosted frosted flavor. There's cocoa.
The maple
there's a
waffle bunch of them. One
maple
too.
Waffle's pretty so good, actually. Yeah, I do like that one.
That sounds good.
Yeah,
I'd like that.
Go ahead and try it. Help us out. By trying this Magic Spoon. It's delicious.
Magicspoon.com/normal. And use our promo code normal at checkout to save $5 off.
Save it.
You're going to need to save the
$5. So if you don't like it too, it's backed with 100% happiness guarantee. Mm-hmm. They'll refund your money. No questions asked. So
easy.
What's the problem?
And they have cereal bars I saw in the corner.
Now the cereal bars have 1 gram of sugar, but that's like nothing compared to
1 gram.
One.
What is that?
If you eat some...
Doesn't like a soda have like 40?
Dude, yeah.
40 grams?
Dude, yes.
One soda?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're watching your weight, it's helpful. You know what I used to do when I ate cereal back when I was a kid? I used to watch Nickelodeon.
Oh, God.
Me too.
You guys watch that show?
Yeah.
Nickelodeon? All that? Back then?
Big into it.
That was actually...
Manda
Show. I was a huge fan. Not that. I was too old, but I watched
I was a big fan of
the incarnation
Manda
of all that.
Yeah. You guys are young.
Yeah.
That was before my time.
Well, it's a good thing that this abuse has been happening a long time, so.
Nickelodeon at all?
Yeah, I watched Nickelodeon, but I mean, what I was watching was like, what,
like Double Dare?
Like as Double Dare.
Back
there you
the
go.
Day, yeah.
I watched Double Dare. Oh, yeah.
That was like
there
the
was
late
like 80s. Aztec Double Dare.
Oh, dude. Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Legends of the Hidden Temple.
That was a cool set.
That was my jam.
You had to watch. What about Pete and Pete and Salute Your Shorts?
Pete and Pete. Sure.
That's during the same era.
Wearing my shorts? Yeah.
Sadly.
We're
reminiscing about Nickelodeon shows.
Sadly.
Dan Schneider came on, who we're about to discuss after that, actually.
Yeah.
Pete and that whole crew, Mark Summers was very surprised.
Did he talk about that? Pete and Pete, that was like 90? 1990?
Yeah, I met.
I believe so, right?
I met one of them, and we interviewed him once. But yeah, he wasn't. They didn't have problems like these other kids.
Well, the docuseries. It's a mini docuseries, 4 episodes. I watched it today. Dave watched it as well. Yep. Quiet on the Set. Quiet on Set. The Dark Side of Kids TV. It's all about the pedophilia that is in kids production, at least back in the 90s and 2000s. Centered around this is Dan Schneider. He produced, if you watch Nickelodeon, you've definitely watched a Dan Schneider show.
He created
all of the sitcom shows, Drake and Josh, Amanda Show, all of that stuff. And it's not just about him. It's about him and other producers that are in Nickelodeon and what happened to Drake Bell specifically, which is something that nobody knew about. I've been kind of following it because there was a YouTuber, Turkey Tom, that made an hour-long video about Dan Schneider, and I didn't know anything about this, and I went down that rabbit hole. I think also Jorge on YouTube made a video about it as well. And I just went down that rabbit hole of finding out about Dan Schneider, and not just him, but Brian Peck. And Brian Peck was a line producer. He's like a line coach. He'd work with the kids.
Brian Peck was a vocal coach.
Vocal coach.
And he worked with people back to the point where you see him with Leonardo DiCaprio on the set of Growing Pains, where he's rubbing up on him.
Well known in the industry.
Yeah, very well known in the industry, to the point that James Marsden and Alan Thicke, like all these people, actually wrote letters to defend him when he was on trial. But we'll get into that. But yes, he was a well-known vocal coach. And I'm trying to think of who the other guy was who was also a sexual predator.
I can't remember. Josh was another sexual predator that was on the set of all that. And basically, he was a PA, and he would take when the kids would show up with their parents, he would take the kids to the set and show them around the set, like away from their parents. And he formulated relationships with the kids off set and would email them. And he was found, one of the girls, she was 11, I think 10 or 11. And she was in correspondence with this guy, and he just sent her a photo. And her mom pulled her out of the entire industry, and we're like, we're never going back in there. She never reported it, sadly, but she was just trying to protect her kid at the time. So they found him. Eventually, it all kind of came out because he was talking with other kids. FBI got involved, and then
raided his apartment.
Yeah, and it found
CP. And it was filled with CDs and all kinds of stuff.
The little baggies? Dude, the little baggies with the names of the kid panties, actors.
What were in the baggies?
The one
literally
with the
underwear of
underwear and letters that girl, like the little kids have written him, like down to like five and six.
Dang.
So this is a PA that was working around concern. Parents had brought up concerns about this guy. They didn't do anything about him. He eventually was found out, raided, and he went to jail. And then right after that, I think they said like a few months after, like 4 or 5 months, the Brian Peck stuff came out. Because Drake Bell, and at the time when all this came out, Drake never said it was him. Mm-hmm. He was talking on the phone with his mom, and he just like blurted out what happened. And Brian Peck basically groomed him while he was on the set of Amanda's Show. Go ahead. It was in between Drake and Josh. In between those shows.
Yeah, it was while it was going on. Like, his dad and mom had divorced. Like, it starts really, you know, obviously spoilers, but weird stuff had gone on the set because of Dan Schneider, who he's more of a narcissist who creates a toxic work environment, breaks people's spirit, that sort of a thing. But he'll humiliate them sexually in a way. Like, he has a foot fetish, which we've been making fun of for years now.
Yeah.
Which I believe, do you have a picture of the thing you found today, Angela, that belongs to Dan Schneider, to give people an idea?
This is at Dan Schneider's
house. This is Dan Schneider's actual swimming pool.
Sorry,
that Angela found.
Pulled up. Yeah.
There's videos of
she's
like
denied accusation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, kids licking their feet.
Ariana Grande did some stuff for one of the shows she was on where she's
Ariana Grande's laying there at like 10 years old dumping stuff all over her
water
face.
On her face and sucking toes.
This is This is his pool.
Wow.
The title's in it too.
Sorry.
Like, that's fine.
I don't care. Hey, he's right. He's fucking right.
Okay. He's not but wrong.
You know, it starts with like Amanda Bynes plays a character called Penelope Taint.
Right.
And he literally tells everybody on the
which
set
is like one of my favorite characters on that show.
It's a good character.
It's a great character. Amanda Bynes was really great.
She was a good sketch comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the name of the character.
Yeah.
No, it's tragic. It really was.
That was the actual name on the show?
Yes.
Yes.
And it was Penelope Taint.
When the producers outside of Dan Schneider, Dan Schneider came up with the name. And he took it to the higher up executives, and they go, "What is that? What is that? Does that mean? Doesn't that something like genitalia?" And he was like, "No, you mean like it means like tainted, like it's been tainted." But he really meant taint.
Well, you can look on the internet too and find lots of videos of him sexualizing Ariana Grande, having her lick her own feet, her trying to get water or something out of a potato.
She was trying to squeeze juice out of a potato and doing
it's very
like,
sexual. Yeah. We're not going to play it on the show, but like there's plenty out there that you can find.
It's just very like an open secret. It's one of those Me Too, hashtag Me Too things. It's,
you know what this reminds me of though? A lot of the stuff you were saying about that industry is essentially just teachers nowadays. Like now. Yeah. Or TikTokers. That guy Jeffrey Marsh or whatever, you know, he wears makeup and he says, "Your parents don't really know you like I know you. Like you could talk to me and you could trust me. And don't worry, you could just give up on your entire family and go off on your own and go to people who love you and love bomb them." And it's like,
you know, it's
that's
really
frightening.
Really
it's
disturbing.
Kind of the same vibe of getting from this.
Well like what they do with them is they protect that Marsh person, right? And it kind of in this scenario, when Drake Bell brought those accusations up, he called that FBI had him call Brian Peck on the phone and get him to confess, basically. And he confessed the entire thing, every time that he did it and why he did it on the phone. And they went to court. And in the sentencing hearing, they had gotten Brian Peck's lawyers gotten a bunch of other celebrities to write letters. So like we said, wasn't it Marsden had written him one?
One of the Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
One of the Boy Meets World.
Two of the Boy Meets World. Yeah.
And they've recently.
Strong and Wilfred Savage's brother on the show. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which have both now come out and said that they were also groomed in a way. I think Brian Strong.
Ryder
Strong. Sorry, I'm mixing them up. Ryder Strong said that he was also groomed, and that's why he kind of at that point in his life. He didn't realize what he was doing. He was like, yeah, he's an okay guy. Like, why? He's a really good person. And that's why he wrote that letter.
The letters used so much of the same vernacular that it seemed like they were written for them and then just signed by various powerful people. Because even, I forget the name of, is it Meredith Baxter Burney, who's the mom on Growing Pains? Mm-hmm. She signed one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she didn't know what it was about. And then you look at what happened specifically with Drake Bell, which we've been hearing about in recent news. His dad, I think, really loved him. And he's playing small parts on Seinfeld, Jerry Maguire. He's not having any of these problems until he gets to Nickelodeon Studios. His parents were divorced, but all of a sudden, Brian Peck is throwing stuff to divide up the mom from the dad.
And his dad saying, his dad called it out. His dad was his manager at the time, and he was like, "I don't like the way this guy's acting around my son." He went to the executives and they didn't do anything about it. And then eventually Drake
called them homophobic.
Yes, he did. He said, "Oh, I don't know if you realize, but Brian is gay and you must be homophobic and you just don't know that he's a touchy-feely kind of guy." He said,
"Well, in reality, they were probably just they themselves were also in the toes of that hot tub." You know, they were dipping their toes in too.
Sitting in the pinky.
You know,
And it's really kind of wild too, because at the hearing that you guys are talking about, it was like Brian Peck had all of these people in his corner, and Nickelodeon had turned everybody against
Drake,
and he talks about it on the. I think we have a clip.
Yeah, go ahead and play it.
It was a different time, so I think it was a little easier to go to and from a courthouse and not worry about Twitter that night or TMZ paparazzis being there. On the day of sentencing for Brian, I get to the courthouse. It was the most unbelievable thing I'd ever seen. His entire side of the courtroom was full. Full. There were definitely some recognizable faces on that side of the room. And my side was me, my mom, and my brother. Brian had been convicted, but getting all of this support from a lot of people in the industry, and yeah, I was pretty shocked. My mom got up, she had a statement.
Is it really that shocking?
Yeah, right.
Is it though? Is it really that shocking? It's not.
No, and the fact that I think what's shocking is they dressed him like he's welcoming everyone to Emerald City to tell that story.
That's just how he dresses.
It just seems odd to go with that.
He goes with that rockabilly thing for a while.
He just released a music video that like depicts him as a kid. And then a producer taking him into a dressing room, and then the door shuts. And it's kind of, the song's all about, it's not a very good song, just to be honest. But it's all about him kind of coming to terms with that kind of stuff. Interesting. No, it takes balls Adam's to come right, out though, like that and say what happened. Cause that's traumatic stuff. That's traumatic stuff.
But no, Adam's right. It's not shocking, and it's exactly what you'd expect. Because you look at these people that have been emancipated from their parents, and you have to look at, like, Edward Furlong, and, like, there's a whole list of people that have had this happen to them, and they all end up in a similar situation. And Drake Bell, I know, later got in trouble for, it was texting with a 17-year-old, I think, which is obviously very bad, but when you compare it to... And not even compare it. I shouldn't say that at all. But it's like what he went through, too, when you're talking about sodomy, rape, like the stuff that this guy did to him. Here's the worst part. The guy gets out of jail, Brian Peck, and gets rehired by Nickelodeon on The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
That was Disney. Wow. But still, it's the same
industry. Goes right back into the industry.
I'm sorry. It was, you're right. Rehired, though, by the couple that were at Nickelodeon at the Disney Channel.
Yeah. The Drake Bell... reminds me of... thing that happened, I kind of looked into that because I was like, what is going on? What is this? Because I don't remember that story. It, from what I saw, it was a crazy fan that was stalking him and that lied about her age in order to talk to him. And I don't know what the text messages were, but they turned over their phones to the FBI or whatever the investigative people were, and they said that they didn't find any of the photos that she claimed that he sent her and any of that stuff. So I don't know. I just don't want to spread
it's
that.
It's probably true.
Yeah, it just seemed like one of those Me Too stories that jump onto the Me Too movement and kind of muddy the waters where it's just
Well, and it
claims.
Kind of perpetuates that stereotype too, which it really isn't even a stereotype, that people who have been abused in their childhood often
become the abuser,
and it's just this awful cycle. And so I could see it going either way, but because he was never found guilty or anything of those things, it is like... hard to say what really happened, but you know, that is a thing that does happen. It's very sad.
Sadly. Yeah. It, for me, this though, is like, I grew up watching these shows, like all of the 90s shows, watching all that, watching Amanda Show. I was like, I watched the first episode of Amanda Show when it aired. I saw that as like such a fun environment and I wanted to be a part of that kind of thing. But to see that the dark side of it like this, I'm so glad that I didn't get into anything like that.
I was reading a post from Lauren Chen today because Ellen Page or Elliot Page, whatever, it's Ellen Page to me, or at least that's what it's always been.
Yeah.
She basically goes into, she thinks that Ellen Page was abused in the same sense by these Hollywood elites. And this whole shift that she's done is her self-harming, which she admitted to doing, but really just... getting rid of the feminism or the feminist in her or any feminine thing she sees, because she sees that as what was abused. So she's reminded by it. I have Lauren's post right here. I'm just going to say, by becoming a trans man, she not only gets to mutilate her own body and remove its femininity with like top surgery, with the full support of the medical community. But on top of that, she also gets praised and labeled brave and inspiring for coming out. She's just traumatized. And like you said, you either become the abuser or something like this happens where you try to like change yourself in a way that you can't because you're not actually facing what you went through. You're doing anything but facing it. Like she's heard, just obviously a traumatized.
Yeah. I've heard people say similar things about Amanda Bynes when she kind of went through her break from reality, and the way that she dresses herself and presents herself now is almost like she's trying to be the opposite of what
she was,
what was attractive to whoever at the time. And stuff.
That's
and
so sad. Like, cause she was such a talent. She was really funny and had good timing and yeah, it's just, it's really tragic.
When you look at her though, and her audition tape was, she's this little girl who's just doing this whatever routine in the middle of Hollywood. And it's at a time before TikTok when everybody's trying to be famous. It's just somebody's bringing her there and they see a mark.
Yeah.
And they know they can groom it from day one. Like there's, it's less that they saw something in her as much as they just knew they could victimize her.
Yeah.
And that's what bothered me so much.
The look of her toes.
Yeah, it wasn't about anything. Yeah. You could just tell, though. It's like, we can build this person into something. You know, it's any kid, I think, mostly likely can be on a sketch show because you're just playing. You know, like that's all acting is. It's playing.
Yeah.
So it's very easy to get a kid to do that. And it's disgusting in the way that they manipulated that.
Back.
And it's horrifying. And I think you're absolutely right that they are mutilating their body, because a lot of the times now we have this psychotherapy that I think is overcorrecting everything in the worst way possible, where you have a lot of people in the country who aren't these giant stars, obviously, who are being told that they are traumatized and they do have all these things when they don't. They don't have these issues. They've come up in a very easy time. They weren't abused, and they're being told that they should hate who they are, hate their parents, whatever it might be. And it's horrible. But you see look at the giant backlash it's created. And then you have these people in Hollywood who are, you're not creating anything except you're being a role model to these other people. And then you're destroying your entire body, which does literally nothing for your mental health. There's no way that it does.
It's gonna be worse.
And there's no way that, even if you bottled it up and you decided to just be strong enough to move on and keep it in the back of your head, that's better than destroying your body. But nobody wants to look at it like that. Maybe she just didn't want to talk about it, and then people convinced her and convinced her until she cracked. You know, it sucks because people deal with stuff in different ways. Not everybody has to deal with the same thing in every single way, and we're starting to see the result of it. And I think it's very dangerous the way that we're just kind of treating everybody with the same medications, the same psychotherapy, and the same mental analysis, and the same mental health care, because as a result, we're just seeing people hurting, destroying their bodies, mass shootings, everything going up. It means the shit's not working.
Right.
That's a good take.
Well, I wanted to bring that story forward because I think it's something that's not talked about enough. The hashtag MeToo happened, and it kind of seemed to only focus on one side, just when women are abused, which is good to focus on that. Like, it definitely happens in Hollywood 100%, but it also happens to men in Hollywood, like Terry Crews,
Brendan Fraser.
Brendan Fraser has had stories about that as well, and children. So if you haven't watched it, it's on HBO Max, I think.
It's an ID.
ID.
So if you have that channel, yeah. Sure. But you can find it online.
It's an interesting documentary, and to just be aware of that stuff going on. And this is one of the things, it's like when I see Hollywood struggling and falling apart and dying, and other people like independents going out and making their own thing, I champion that because that place is dark. That place is a horrible, horrible place for everyone involved. It's weighs heavy on the soul of anybody, it seems, to that works there. So anyways,
and narcissists that abuse and sexually abuse though in the workplace isn't limited to Hollywood. So know that.
Right. Well, speaking of being independent, making your own thing, and championing that, friend of the show, Eric July, has been out here making comic books campaigns. He's on his third comic book campaign. It's over a million. The first one was like 3 million. It's freaking crazy. This one is killing it. It's the Yaira number one, produced by some comic book legend writers and artists. So go check it out. Ripaverse.com/Yaira. It's awesome.
Check it out.
And that's just because I love the show. all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. They did an animated kind of promo for the last comic book, mm-hmm. and it looked freaking awesome.
Yeah, it looks really good.
They also did a live action.
Yeah, they did a live action for this too. One. Yeah, so they're trying all kinds of stuff. It's really
That's
cool to see.
Ripaverse.com/Yaira.
There you go. Hey,
she
Adam.
She is a babe.
Adam.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on the show, bro.
It was a pleasure. I love hanging out with you guys. It's great being here. Anytime.
I forgot.
I want to be involved in some sketches. All right, I've got a green screen.
I gotta fly just you over here. That's what I need to do.
You give me a call. Give me a call, and I'm down.
We'll do it
to do whatever. Also that.
Also flying you over.
We would like you to be in some sketches.
Yes.
He's got a freaking Viking forest.
I do.
A what?
He's got a Viking forest outside of his house. It's insane.
I don't even know what that means.
Literal Viking forest, like where Vikings lived.
I do. Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's actually like a heritage site. Yeah. Like my direct plot next to my house is where Vikings lived.
Lots of ruins there.
You own it?
Well, no one can own it.
Not the plot over there. It's like...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We can film in there. You guys want to come out here and do like a Viking thing?
Yeah.
Yes.
You should.
Yeah. Why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
Let's make that happen.
All right.
Hell yeah. End of the world.
You're welcome.
Before I ask the question, Adam, where can people find you?
Over on my channel on Rumble and YouTube, The Krigler Show. Very easy to find me. I'm also on Forbidden Frontier every Sunday night with Garrett and Nerd Jurotic, who hit a million subs. Shout out to
that
man. And I'll be on Side Scrollers this Thursday, a couple days. I'm looking forward to being back on that show. I haven't been there in a while, but yeah. And I'm mostly on YouTube on The Krigler Show. Come check it out. Thanks.
Starting a new channel. It's like outdoorsman. Should check it out.
It's coming soon.
Hey, question. If Dan Snyder ends up in prison, what names do you think his shows should be named?
Me first?
Should I start or should you start?
You start. That's how we eat. Let's do it like always.
We'll do it like normal. Cousin Skeeter. Because he's in prison. Skeeter.
Good. Carly can walk. Sorry.
Adam?
The Amanda Blow.
No. Oh, bro.
That's well played.
These are things he's going to be doing in prison. Soon? This isn't making
this
fun of the
children. This has nothing to do with Amanda. No. This is
what we think he should be forced to do.
Dave.
Are you afraid of the dick?
Great show.
Or how about, let's do two, all that in my ass.
I'll see you guys tomorrow. Akira the Don!